I've been preaching back in Floyd through the Gospel of Mark, and I'm in Mark chapter 7 and chapter 8. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, I'll be starting in verse 31. I think that's on page 1003 in the Pew Bibles. This is a little bit longer section of Scripture that I'll be reading from. That there are a few different miracles that are going on, a few different conversations that Jesus is having. But there's also something that unifies the miracles that Jesus does. So you can think that, and as we're reading through the text, listen carefully to it. Jesus will be healing a man who is mute and healing a man who is blind. And they're different disabilities, but there's a similarity in the way in which Jesus heals both. And then Jesus will be feeding the 4,000. Earlier in Mark chapter 6, he's fed the 5,000, and now he feeds 4,000. So a lot of deja vu that is going on here with what the disciples are seeing but not understanding. And that's one of the things that's tying this together is maybe we don't see as clearly as we ought to. Or maybe this is how Jesus looks upon your faith and my faith. So Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching his disciples. He's not just healing others. I often go through life like this, and I think the disciples are going through the ministry of Jesus, watching him, not understanding, not paying close attention, and not remembering. Sometimes, and I think we think listening comes naturally to us. It doesn't. Listening is something that needs to be taught. And listening, especially to the voice of Jesus, is something that there needs to be the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. So you think with your regular hearing, sometimes it's nice just to stop, have silence, say, what do you hear? It's amazing all the different noises that are going on around us all of the time, but we don't hear it. Especially if you have little kids, you're going to feel very uncomfortable because you don't want to listen to your children, but they're a wonderful blessing. And a lot of times we go through life seeing, but we don't see. And I was talking with Dr. Pilchard, who's an ophthalmologist in God's providence, about sight. The thing I didn't realize about sight and seeing is it's something that's learned. We think it comes naturally to us, but even physical eyesight is something that is learned and something that develops over time, especially in the formation of our brains. And so Jesus is teaching us spiritual truths, and may he give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. So I'll be reading from Mark chapter 7, and I'll be starting in verse 31 and reading through chapter 8 and verse 26. Hear the living word of the living God. Again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hands on him. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. In those days, when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And his disciples answered him, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to his disciples to serve to them, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large basketfuls what was left over of the broken pieces, about 4,000 were there, and he sent them away. And immediately he entered the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread, and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces you picked up?" They said to him, 12. "When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large basketfuls of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we again thank you so very much for your word. I thank you that you, Jesus, are the bread of life. We thank you that you are the light of the world. We pray that you, through the work of the Holy Spirit, would illumine our minds and give understanding to our hearts. As we look at these miracles that you did, as we look at the lack of understanding of the disciples, and may we be able to look at this and be asking the same question of ourselves. Do we understand? Do we have faith? And we pray that you would help us to see more clearly, even as the blind man saw clearly as you laid hands on him. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So what do you do when you are talking to somebody and they are not paying attention to you, or they are not listening? And one of the things you may do is to repeat yourself, or you may say something in a different way. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He is repeating himself. He is doing similar miracles. He is now feeding 4,000, and he is repeating himself in the way in which he heals the blind man and the man who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. And as he is doing these miracles, there's this question that should be in the back of your minds, as it was to be in the back of the disciples' minds, in verse 23 of our text. He asks the man who was blind, "Do you see anything? Do you see anything?" Jesus is not asking the question here because he wasn't sure about whether spitting in the eyes of a man and laying hands on him had worked. We would be totally mistaken to think Jesus has doubts whether or not he could do this in one shot. And stop to think for a moment what Jesus is doing. Now, there aren't any other miracles quite like these two miracles. In fact, this is one of the reasons we don't have drama in worship. But suppose we were to have drama and we were to try acting out this text. Imagine that for a moment. And this is what Jesus is taking us along. He's taking his disciples along, and he also takes along the people who brought the blind man with him out of the village. So my understanding is Jesus is taking his disciples out. After asking them the question, do you have eyes? Do you have eyes? Do you not see? What's wrong with you? So he goes and he takes a blind man that is brought to him. He brings him out of the village. And there, if we were to have people get up on stage, we'd have the men who brought the blind man. You'd have the disciples standing around. We would need a volunteer for the blind man. I don't know if any of you would want to volunteer and come forward to be the blind. I'm not going to ask you, don't worry. And then, of course, someone to volunteer and to show how Jesus healed this man. Jesus would take this man, and imagine watching this for a moment. Just think of what Jesus, this is a sign. So watch the sign that Jesus is doing. So he takes the blind man by the hand, and there they are. And what does he do? He spit in his eyes. Imagine that. That is what our text says. He implored him to touch him, taking the blind man by the hand. He brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eye. Do I have your attention now? And Jesus lays his hands on him. Do you see anything? And the disciples should be thinking, wait a minute. Jesus was just asking us if we're blind. Jesus is doing something physically to teach us about a spiritual reality about our eyesight or our faith. So Jesus then, after spitting on the man's eyes, he says, do you see anything? And the man looks up and he says, I see men. I see them like trees walking around. So he's not completely healed. I think this is what Jesus is doing for his disciples. I think he's doing this for us too. That we often walk through life and we think that our spiritual blindness is normal. We just don't ever see clearly. We might not even realize that we're spiritually blind. The disciples didn't realize they were spiritually blind, or they weren't seeing everything clearly. Thankfully, the disciples aren't as blind as the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees are asking for signs right after the feeding of the 4,000. What other kind of sign are you looking for? I think one of the points Jesus is making, if you are blind, and this is a hostility kind of blindness, right? They go to argue with Jesus. And if you're blind, you'll never see a sign, right? That's the point. No sign for this generation. This evil, unbelieving, you'll never understand it. The disciples have another kind of blindness, and it's a problem. And they are seeing partially. And so what Jesus is taking them aside as he heals both the deaf man and the blind man, in very similar ways, by the way, he is asking this question, which should be a question in the back of our minds. Do we see anything? Or in verse 18 of our text, having eyes, do you not see? And again, what makes this miracle stand out so clearly is that Jesus does it in two stages. And after the second stage, the man then, his eyesight is restored, and he saw everything clearly. The preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way. He says, all our Lord's miracles are more than events. They are, in a sense, parables as well. That does not mean that we do not believe in the actual incident as a fact of history. In other words, this is a fact of history. Jesus healed these individuals. He multiplied the loaves and the fish. But Jones goes on to say, he says, I'm simply asserting that a miracle is also a parable. Jesus dealt with the blind man as he did in order to give them, the disciples, a picture of themselves. This is what you guys looked like to me as you're walking around and asking these silly questions about bread. I told you to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And you guys are walking around like this, and you have no idea what I'm talking about. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herod. Oh, Jesus is upset because we only brought one loaf with us. We don't have enough bread. They have the bread of life in the boat with them. They've already seen it multiply,
the loaves for 5,000 and 4,000. And now they're like, well, maybe the leaven of the Pharisees is unclean. Can there be such thing as unclean leaven? I don't think there is any unclean leaven. Jesus already declared all foods clean. And that's in Mark chapter 7. And so they're debating amongst themselves, maybe even blaming one another for not bringing more bread with them. And so Jesus, what does he do? He asks them seven questions after that, and they all have to do with sight. So he asks in verse 17, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? So it's another kind of parable, right? You were just there. You with your own eyes saw me lift my eyes to heaven and give thanks. You saw me hand to you the loaves and the fish. You with your own hands and your own feet distributed them to the 4,000 and to 5,000 beforehand. Now, here's the question. Seven questions he asked. Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the five loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of broken pieces did you pick up? Again, this is more than a mathematical question. This is more than a question for the church treasurer. He's always looking at numbers. We need people to look at those numbers. But Jesus is not just concerned about the number of loaves and the number of basketfuls picked up. He's saying, do you realize who's with you? Do you understand that? And that is the thing that they are having a very difficult time seeing. And I wonder sometimes whether we have the same kind of difficulties as well in the different trials and hardships and temptations that come up in life. And whether we might forget that Jesus has said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If Jesus is with us, you know, we can do everything. I can do everything who gives me strength. So this is how Jesus is looking at our faith. And look a little bit further at the feeding of the 5,000 here. Again, it's kind of a deja vu. Jesus, in verse 2 of our text, he feels compassion for the people. That's exactly how Jesus is described in the feeding of the 5,000 earlier in Mark's Gospel. He feels compassion. It's not just that Jesus feels sorry that there are 4,000 people who have not eaten anything for a few days. The kind of compassion that Jesus feels is a compassion where he sees a need and he's going to meet it. That's what compassion is. It's not the it's the kind of compassion that the Samaritan showed to the man who was left for dead in the middle of the road. So the priests and the Levites, they knew the law of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. They taught the law of God. But what did they do when they saw the man in the middle? They walked on the other side. That's not compassion. They might have felt, oh, that poor fellow. I'm so glad I'm not in his shoes. The one who feels compassion, though, is the Samaritan. And it's the Samaritan, then, that did something about it. Jesus is speaking as one who is able and will do something about it. And so he says, if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And notice the question of unbelief of the disciples. This is the kind of the blindness of them. The disciples answer him. This is the exact way they answered Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000. His disciples answer, will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? You know, and earlier they said, 8 months' wages, 200 denarii, is not going to be enough to feed this great crowd of people. And the question, again, is not the numbers. The question is that the fact that Jesus is with them and the fact that Jesus is with us as well. Do you see that more clearly? Do you see that in the different things that are going on in your life? Again, as Jesus took his disciples earlier then at the end of Mark chapter 7, notice the similarities with the healing of the man who was blind. He comes to the region of Tyre in verse 32 of Mark chapter 7. They brought to Jesus one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hands on him. So the same kind of request. Here's a person now who can't hear. He speaks with difficulty. Jesus, he takes him aside. Then what does he do? He puts his fingers into his ears. So again, imagine this is a very visible sign. So here's the deaf man.
here are people watching, and especially particularly the disciples. He puts the fingers in the ears. What does he do next? Did you notice that? He spits. The deaf man can't hear that, by the way, but he can feel it. He touches his tongue with his saliva. Jesus is the source of life. This is very incarnational. You and I have no life apart from the flesh and the blood of Christ, the one who is truly God and truly man. Now the deaf man, he knows what's going on now. And everyone's watching, and he looks up to heaven, and he says with a deep sigh, "Ephphatha," and be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. And what was the first thing that this man did with his newfound hearing and his ability now to speak clearly? Do you notice the first thing that he does with his hearing and his speech? He doesn't listen to Jesus' ears. He doesn't listen to Jesus with his mouth and his tongue. Because Jesus then gave them orders, verse 36, not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, this is a command from the one who has ability to multiply loaves and fish, the one who earlier calms the storm and the sea. He gave him orders not to tell anyone. The more Jesus ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. And they were utterly astonished. So Jesus gave orders, and we might look at this and we might say, well, it's a good thing to tell others about Jesus. And praise God, it is a wonderful thing to tell others about Jesus. But now when Jesus tells you to do something else, I'm sure in his own wisdom and the wisdom of others, it made sense to them. Yes, let's disobey. We know better than Jesus, right? No, we never know better than Jesus. Sometimes Jesus and God gives you and I commandments that we don't fully understand. And the real question is, do you have the ears to hear it? Do you have the heart to understand it so that you might hear and so that you might obey? And it's amazing as I think about my own personal life and my own personal listening, I begin to realize that I see things partially by faith. You know, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm usually relying upon my physical sight, but I'm not relying on the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to lead and to guide me. And you probably all know this in different ways. My children, I have six children. I have an office in the home, and so my doors are usually shut. And my children learn from a very young age, if they ever want something from Dad, or something at all, like a snack, they're going to go ask their dad. Because they know that I am preoccupied. I do not listen carefully when my kids come in and they say, "Dad, can I have a snack?" And you know why I always say yes, is because I'm busy. I don't want my train of thought to be broken. And so I know that if I say yes, they're just going to leave and leave me alone, and I can get back to my train of thought. So I do spend time with my kids and everything like that. So, but I do have office hours. Okay, so there are times. So that's what. And sometimes I will hear then, maybe 5 minutes later, my wife Heidi say, "What are you doing eating snacks right before dinner time?" And then I hear those dreaded words, "Dad told me so. I asked Dad." And I'm the one, because I'm not the one who is listening carefully to what my children are saying to me. Are you listening carefully to what Jesus is saying to you? It's one of the reasons, you know, even before we started the sermon, just to stop, what do you hear? And do you realize that in the reading of the scriptures and the preaching of the Word of God, Jesus is speaking to you? Do you realize the significance of that? I think Jesus was doing so many miracles, and he did. Jesus did countless miracles. There wouldn't be enough books in the world to tell all those stories, as John tells us in his gospel. And I think the disciples have been seeing this so many times that they're just seeing it. Yeah, I get it. I understand. And they have no idea anymore what they're seeing. So Jesus stops them. He takes these individuals aside. He spits and he says, listen and watch carefully what I'm doing. And ask yourself the question, do you understand? And I pray each and every one of us today that the Lord would use that and Jesus' healing of the man who is deaf and the blind man, the question of unbelief, the disciples saying, where are we going to get bread? You know, I'm always asking this. You know, where are we going to get money for this? Jesus is with us, and he will lead, he will guide, and he will provide. So may God give us a clear eyesight. And if you don't see at all, maybe you're sitting there saying, I don't even care to see. Ask Jesus. Jesus, will you at least help me to care and to cry out to you? Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from your law. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you so very much for the gift of the senses. We thank you for the way in which you teach us through such things as eyes and ears and hearts and understanding, through questions about remembering. We thank you as we think in our own lives how annoyed and upset we get when other people don't listen to us. And help us when that happens throughout the week. Why doesn't anyone listen to me? Why do I have to repeat myself? That we might also stop and ask the question, yes, and you as a Heavenly Father, who have said and spoken from heaven about your Son, hear him. And how often we don't hear, we don't understand, and how we walk around as people saying, yes, I see men, but they look like trees walking. So we pray that in our own lives, that, through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you would be bringing to mind those areas of our lives in which we might be asking this question, you know, we only brought one loaf. Well, what are we going to do? And help us remember that you are with us and that you, Jesus, are compassionate, that you care, that you aren't like a parent like myself who doesn't listen carefully when their child comes and asks for something and is busy, that we have access before the throne of grace as you, Jesus, are the only mediator between God and men, and that you do care and that you do hear and that you do answer our prayers. And we pray that you would increase our faith in that and that it would increase our crying out to you and coming and taking advantage of prayer and being able to have access before you. And we thank you for the many encouragements and admonitions to pray as a Heavenly Father. So help us not to think that you are like us and that you don't have ears to hear or eyes to see. In fact, that you do. And we pray that in our own walk with you, that it would be with a greater sense that the entire Christian life is a supernatural life and that we do need the work of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. We thank you so very much that you are patient with us, and we pray that you would grant us the grace of perseverance, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.